Morning, everyone. This morning, we'll be continuing our series in the book of Nehemiah. So if you have a Bible with you and you'd like to follow along, feel free to open it up. If you don't have one and you'd like to look along in a Bible, there should be one in front of you and the seats in front of you. If you don't have one, you can bring it home as a gift. But we'll be looking at Nehemiah chapter 6 this morning in our series entitled Pursuing a Preferable Future. Before we go into a little bit more, I just want to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how wonderful you are. God, we thank you for your love, your consistency, your word, how it speaks truth to us. Lord, I pray that you would speak truth to us and through us, God, today. Lord, would you show us areas you want us to grow in? Areas, God, that you just love us that we're not aware of. And Lord, I just pray we would leave with a better sensitivity of what you're saying to us. God, thank you so much that we can come closer to you because you've already come closer to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're in the book of Nehemiah, and for those who are first time with us, we've been going through it so far chapter by chapter, so one chapter a week. And so it'll be in Nehemiah chapter 6. As I was thinking about this morning's message, I started thinking about music. And I don't know if you ever had this happen before, but you ever listen to a song and it like gets stuck in your head? Like it just gets on like re-loop? I have this weird tendency, I don't know why I do it, and I always get upset when I do it, but it seems like such a good idea. I'll get like a new song and I'll just like re-loop the song. I put it on repeat, so you play it like 20 times in a row, and it's over and over. I'm like, this is the best song ever. You know, I'm getting like emotionally charged up. I'm like, yeah. And then like a day later, I'm like, I hate the song. I hate the song. I'm like, who put this in my head? I remember when I was younger, I believe the show is called Lamb Chops. There's this little like show, and there's a song like it's a song that never ends. It goes on and on. My friend, I mean, talk about a song that's difficult to get out of your mind. But it's just like, I'm like, get out of my mind. I keep singing it more and probably out loud. But sometimes we get songs stuck in our heads. Sometimes they're fun songs. Sometimes they're really uplifting songs. I don't know if you ever woke up in the morning and just had like a worship song just going through your heart and your mind. I've had it happen a couple times. It would be awesome to happen every morning. But sometimes you just wake up and you just got like, you know, blessed be your name coming right off. And you're like, wow, this is a great way to start the day. Sometimes we can get like some songs though that really are not edifying, and those get stuck in our head, and we're just like, please go away. They're just bringing me down. But I want to talk about things that can kind of get stuck in our mind, specifically words. Sometimes we can get some negative thought patterns, some lies that can just kind of be on re-loop, kind of like a CD or maybe a vinyl record or an 8-track or a cassette, whatever works best for your memory, works well, but just kind of on re-loop. Maybe some words that are really speaking death, not life, and they keep playing each morning, afternoon, dinner, for a day, for a week, for a month, sometimes for people it's for years. And sometimes we get so used to them because we're bombarded with them that we think they're actually normal or they're right just because they're consistent. But as we know, there's a lot of things sometimes we grow up with that they're not actually right just because it's normal, just because it's consistency. And this morning we're going to be talking about the voice of truth. That sometimes we can hear lies that maybe we just believe ourselves, lies, the Bible uses the word, from our enemy whose name is the devil, just lies from the culture that don't align with God and what he says in the Bible. But we're going to be looking at the voice of truth. And there is a song by a band called Casting Crowns. Some of you are probably familiar with them. And I just thought I would read just one part of their song. It says, "But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth." And the voice of truth is God's voice. God speaking directly through the Holy Spirit. God speaking directly through his word. That's the voice of truth. And if you're looking like, what's the main point of what we're trying to get out of this morning? I entitled it based off this song, but this part right here. I will choose, it's a choice, to listen and believe the voice of truth. When you're getting bombarded with other information, lies, maybe some discouragement, it's really a choice. Which song do I want to play? Which one do I want to put on re-loop? And we're going to be looking at Nehemiah this morning as he's getting bombarded with some other tracks that are not uplifting, you could say, and how he continually goes to God to hear the voice of truth. So let's look at Nehemiah chapter 6 for a couple moments this morning. I'll be reading it right off the screen. You can follow in the Bible or if you're using a smartphone. But yeah, let's read it right up here. And then I'll break it down into three sections for us this morning. Nehemiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, and I'll just mention, these are the guys that are mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 4 that are bullying and trying to scare Nehemiah. So now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come, let us meet together at Hekephirim in the plain of Ono." But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, "I am doing a great work." And if you're joining with us for the first time, he's trying to build a wall around the city of Jerusalem. "I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat for the fifth time sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you're rebuilding the wall, and according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, 'There is a king in Judah.' And now the king will hear these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together." Then I sent to him, saying, "No such thing as you have said have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking, 'Their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done.' But now, O God, strengthen my hands." Now I went to the house of Shimei, the son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home. He said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night." But I said, "Should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in." And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah, that's one of the enemies, and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way in sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid." So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul, in the 52 days. And when our enemies heard of it, all the nations around were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, that's the enemy, one of them, and Tobiah's letters came to them, for many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Era, and his son Jehohanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Barakai, as his wife. Also, he spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to make me afraid. Or you could say sent soundtracks to make him afraid. But let's look at a couple things this morning. So we're seeing Nehemiah, if you've been with us for a couple weeks, just two chapters ago, just a couple weeks in this context, Nehemiah chapter 4, he's facing opposition. It was the whole psychological, let's threaten them with some words, back to kind of what they're doing here, but also let's get some military and scare them, ambush them, kill them. And so that wasn't able to be accomplished because God gave Nehemiah incredible leadership skills to be able to work and also protect the people of God. He also went to prayer. But now we're seeing a second wave of opposition. And for this morning, as we're looking through this, we're looking at what Nehemiah is facing. We'll be looking at some principles for us. I know that we're not facing enemies called Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, and we're not trying to necessarily build a wall. But if we're pursuing Christ, and he's given a specific task, which that's been kind of highlighted week after week, that God has a specific task, a purpose for each one of you here this morning, that there can be opposition. And not just the if, but when opposition comes, it's so important to know what God has to say. God told Nehemiah, the voice of truth told Nehemiah, this is what I want you to do to rebuild the wall. And man, he's facing some serious opposition. So let's look at some of them this morning. Well, I'm just going to break it down in three sections. The first we see is there's lies from the enemy in verses 1 to 9. So the same governors in the area surrounding Jerusalem, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they're just like, hey, he's moving on beyond half the wall building. Now he's actually built the wall. It's just they have to put the gates, the doors and the gates and the archways for the opening of the walls. So like, we need to just like stop like anything beyond this. Maybe they have the walls built, but maybe we can discourage from within in such a way that nothing more will happen. Let's try to go right for the leader once again, and let's see if we can do something to take Nehemiah down. So they invite Nehemiah four times with four letters. Come meet with us in the land of Ono. Any place called Ono just seems like a no-no. But obviously back then, it's just like, yeah, go there. It's about a day journey. So if Nehemiah did leave, it would be like a day journey. Maybe he has a little chit-chat with him. Maybe that's like another day. And then you travel back. That's another day. So maybe like 3 days out of his week would have been spent going there. But because he was close to God, and really you just see him going to prayer when he is in opposition, they just didn't want to chit-chat. It says in the text they actually wanted to harm him, ambush him. Maybe they wanted to kill him, keep him as a hostage. Who knows? But it was not like, let's just talk about what's going on, leader to leader. So they upped the ante a little bit more, and you always see this. They sent the fifth letter that really just had a whole description of like, you're here to actually rebel against King Artaxerxes, who he used to be the cupbearer to. So if you don't really talk to us, we're just going to forward this email on to Artaxerxes, and we'll see what happens. So you really should meet with us. But yet, this intimidation, these lie factors, this constant thing, Nehemiah just did not listen to it. He did not let that tape, that audio file, go on reloop in his mind. What he did do, though, is he went to prayer. And we see that in verse 9. The whole idea of what the enemies were trying to do, let's discourage and scare them so much, or really fear tactics, that he'd be so discouraged, his strength would be zapped to even work anymore. But he goes to God, and he's like, oh God, strengthen my hands. You get to see him listen to the voice of truth, to go to God in prayer. And we only get to see what Nehemiah normally is saying to God. But I guarantee, knowing God, he's encouraging Nehemiah. My enemies are saying this. God's like, this is a different narrative. This is a different song I want you to live out. We don't face Sanballat and Tobiah as enemies, but in the Bible, it shows that we do face an enemy. He goes by the name the devil, Satan, Lucifer, one who loves to just spew out lies. There's a verse in the New Testament in John that says this, he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. What a like description, you know, if you saw that on Facebook or something, here's your biostat or whatever, or just your biography. Father of lies right here. You might remember in Genesis, he was there in the form of the serpent, lying, doing what he does very badly, or really good, I guess, in a bad context to Adam and Eve, and they bought in and they disobeyed God. You might remember when the devil decided, hey, I'm going to wait till Jesus in a really weak opportunity in the wilderness as he's been fasting for 40 days, and he just starts giving these lies to Jesus. And you get to see Jesus using the word of God, the voice of truth, in a way to combat that. But there is an enemy who does love to speak lies, even to us today. And maybe you're here this morning and some of those little whispers, those little lies, not from the voice of truth, not from God, but from the enemy, has just been replaying on your mind. I'm praying that today this could be a freeing morning for some here. There is a Christian counselor who I really, really like reading his stuff. His name's Henry Cloud. And I'm just going to reference a book because someone asked me last night afterwards, what book was that from? The thing I'm going to reference is called the book is called Never Go Back, 10 Things You'll Never Do Again by Henry Cloud. And this is found in chapter 10. In there, Henry Cloud talks about just like negative thought patterns. He uses Christian biblical principles to really share some really helpful tools, especially if you're feeling like you're stuck in life. And Dr. Cloud broke it down like this. Sometimes when we go through life, we can have something go wrong, and that happens in a variety of ways. And the first thing that happens is, say, I'll use an example, someone loses their job, and maybe some here, you've lost your job recently, so you know what this is like. It's like you lose your job, maybe had to cut down expenses, and last person hired, first one fired kind of deal. And so the thought pattern can come in, it's not like I just lost my job, but I'm just like a failure. I can't like keep a job. So if it becomes personal, is the first thing he mentions, it become like a part of our system, not just like, oh, this is an external thing that happens, it's very difficult, but who we are. If that thought pattern begins to grow, it can come, the second thing is pervasive. So it goes personal to pervasive. It starts to impact everything. I'm not just a failure at getting a job. Maybe I'm a failure with my friendships, or maybe my spouse or my kids, you know, or maybe just everything I'm doing is I'm a failure at. And it starts to kind of like permeate all through our thinking, which impacts the way that you live. And the third thing is, if it goes for an extended time in that place, which is kind of like a negative kind of like thought cancer just going everywhere, it can become like a permanent thought pattern. So it goes beyond like, I'm a failure at this job, to like, I'm a failure in like a lot of things that I do or in most everything, to like, I'll always be a failure. So then there's just no hope in that equation. If you're at all dealing with some like difficult just thought patterns and you've locked in something like that, that is just like, you know, maybe you try dating, it hasn't gone well, like I'm just not cared for by this person. I'm not cared for by anybody. You know what? I will never be loved. And if that sticks in, it devastates. It just cuts you to the core. The beautiful thing about God, and one of the great, there's so many good reasons to read the Bible. If you go to the Bible and listen to the voice of truth, what God has to say in here, you can start to realize that you can counteract these thoughts. He calls refute them. The Bible calls rebuke them, to take them captive to the obedience in Christ, that you could refute these lies by using God's word. Isn't that wonderful? Like, you don't have to stay a victim to lies. There's a father of lies who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. His name's the devil. The God of the universe loves you. He's defeated the devil on the cross. He's a defeated foe. His time is already marked out. God knows what it is. I would encourage you, don't live the rest of today or your life in fear or in lies. The enemies of Nehemiah, they wanted to lie to him to lead him to fear. And that's the same thing the devil wants to do. He wants to lie to us to put us in a place of fear. But we want to refute, we want to rebuke it with the word of God. So we see lies coming to from the enemy to Nehemiah, and we see him going to God. Lord, this is what's going on. And we don't get to see God's part of the conversation, but knowing God, he is so good at encouraging and building up his children, you and me. And so we see him overcoming the lies from the enemy. The next thing we see is deception from friends in verses 10 to 14. So now Nehemiah is getting discouraged, and one of the wonderful things about being in a Christian context or a church is we can encourage one another. You're going through something difficult, go to God in prayer, be in the Bible daily, listen to what God has to say, and then, hey, let's go to somebody and maybe get some input and advice. And so Nehemiah is doing this very similar. He's like, hey, I'm going to go to a prophet, which in the Old Testament are those who speak on behalf of God, and we see that in the New Testament even today. So he goes to a prophet, Shemaiah, and he just says, hey, you know, he wants to meet with them. But Nehemiah didn't realize this off the bat, but this prophet had actually been bought out, bribed by Tobiah, his enemy. And so he just starts giving these lies to really just bring in fear. The word afraid is used 4 times in this passage, and 3 of them are purposely trying to get Nehemiah to become afraid. But Nehemiah has such an ability of discernment, because he's going to like a Christian leader, like almost like maybe going to like a pastor or something, except this person had been bought out by the enemy. But he's saying, hey, you should go into the place that only priests can go. Let's go into the temple, into a closed door, because the enemies are literally going to come to kill you. And not only are they going to come to kill you, they're going to kill you tonight. Imagine letting that like song reloop in your mind. But Nehemiah wouldn't give it any place to be recorded in his memory or his mind. Instead, he's able to know what God's up to. And he's just like, you know what? With the discernment that I believe only God can give, he's like, this isn't from God. And he refutes it. There's also others. There's Noadiah, a prophetess, who also was trying to lie to him and cause fear. And then it lists other prophets. So you can imagine how Nehemiah's feeling. People of God that are supposed to be speaking on behalf of God are actually speaking on behalf of the enemies. But you see Nehemiah having discernment. And in verse 14, you see he returns once again to the voice of truth. Instead of taking things in his own hands and causing some type of retaliation, he goes to God in prayer. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. As we're dealing with just thought patterns or lies from the enemy or from maybe your sinful dysfunction or just from the world around us, it's so great as you get to read God's word and listen to the voice of truth in prayer and just listen to what God wants to say. You can just take and filter out what's coming into your mind, just one at a time, and just align it up with God's word. Jesus comes to give life and life abundantly. So maybe you're here this morning and you're just like, I just feel incredibly condemned. You know, I've made some mistakes. I've done some things wrong. I keep getting in this pattern. God obviously doesn't love me. He probably is like really sad about me, probably doesn't want to look at me, and I'm pretty sure I'm just walking in condemnation because I deserve it. Now, that's a thought pattern that I've thought of before. I've talked to other people. It's almost like, yeah, I guess that's where you're at. But if you look at the Bible and go to Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So you literally can fight that thought pattern with God's word. And if you have so many, sometimes minds can just spin. You're like, I can't even like slow down to think of one to filter and take obedient to the captive in Christ. Just start writing it out. Write it down on a piece of paper. What are you thinking? What's coming into your mind? Maybe it'll take up half a page. Maybe it'll take up a page. Maybe you'll write a small book and publish it on Amazon. I don't know. Probably not the best idea. But write it down. And I'll encourage you, okay, this is what's in my mind. Does this line up with God's word? Start refuting them. It's the way to move from being a victim to a victor in Christ, and it comes when we start listening to the voice of truth and not letting things just passively hold us victim in fear. So we see deception from friends, and we see that Nehemiah is able to refute because he knows the voice of truth. And lastly, we see him fighting off fear. The whole idea was to give these lies that would cripple and paralyze Nehemiah in fear, either to be discouraged, either to become to a place of sinning, of going into the temple, which only a priest could do, ruin his reputation, because once his reputation is gone, he'll lose the trust, or possibly just have him sin in such a way that people are like, we're not going to follow you anymore. But you see him, he's not going there. In verses 15 to 19, you get to see that he has some ongoing issues that I'm going to wrap up the chapter with, but he's going to have to deal with. He's overcoming lies and deception. But now Tobiah, one of his enemies of what God wanted him to be doing, was really clever, and he established some trading, like some kind of commercial relationships with some of the nobles of Judah, and also there were some marriages happening of people being related by marriage. So now Nehemiah finds him in a place where some of his core, not just like some of the religious leaders, but some of the nobles, maybe some of the people that he's building the wall with, are in allegiance to his enemy. And because of these trading relationships and marriage relationships, they're like, hey, you know what? Nehemiah, you don't really understand Tobiah. He's a wonderful guy, you know? He's a great guy. You got to love him, right? And they're speaking well of Tobiah in Nehemiah's presence. Nehemiah, I'm guessing, probably would start feeling rather alone. It's like, hey, guys, we're building this together. Here's our enemy who's threatened to kill us. Do you remember that just like 2 or 3 weeks ago? And now you guys are trading. It's like, goody, goody. But not only are they saying, like, Tobiah's really great in Nehemiah's presence, they would listen to what Nehemiah would say and then report it to Tobiah. And then Tobiah, I'm sure, would very craftily put together well-thought letters to strike fear in response, which he sent to Nehemiah. And so you see this ongoing opposition and difficulty that Nehemiah would have to deal with. But as we see in Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah chapter 6, we see in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah is a man of prayer. He intentionally spends time to listen to the voice of truth. Over all the opposition, over all the difficulties, ones that are temporary and ones that are ongoing. And maybe this morning you're having some, you know, moments of like, oh, this thought, okay, I'm going to refute that. But sometimes it's just a daily thing. There's ongoing difficulties. Hence our need to be listening to the voice of truth. Nehemiah might have felt like David when he was seized by the Philistines, as recorded in Psalm 56. David said this. He said, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? I don't know what Nehemiah's all his prayers were, but I'm thinking they might have been similar to that portion right there. And if you're dealing with some fear issues this morning and just feeling paralyzed, this is the scripture. You can write down Psalm 56:1-3. When I am afraid. You can even find songs that use that as their lyrics, and you can just listen, like real songs, just listen to them. When I'm afraid, I'm going to put my trust in you, God. All right, I'm feeling fear. I'm going to go to God. I'm not going to hide or try to resort to maybe some type of escape. I'm going to go right to God with that. We see David doing that. We see Nehemiah being able to lead because in some form, he's going to God. So we see him the ability to fight off fear by continually putting his trust in God. So as I'm wrapping up just this morning, just a couple of things as to close with. Jesus refuted, I mentioned this earlier, Jesus refuted the lies of the enemy, of the devil, by using scripture. He quoted four times from the book of Deuteronomy. And I encourage you, if you're not reading the Bible every day, I haven't always read the Bible every day either, but I encourage us, I should say, let's get into the Bible. If you realize that there's an enemy who's trying to lie, there's our own sinful dysfunction that sometimes just brings up these thoughts. There's a world that's not based on God's kingdom principles that will tell us a counter thing. We must be rooted in God's voice and the word of truth. And when it comes to fear, which is definitely the end result of what his enemies are trying to get to, there's a passage I want to highlight in a moment. But before I get there, I want to bring up a chair. Maybe some of you thought like, you probably can't stand the whole time, which sometimes I feel that way, but not this morning. So I have this chair, and there's a phrase I really like. I've heard it recently when it comes to spending time with God. Sometimes it's, you call them devotional times or devos or quiet times. There's a phrase I heard recently called chair time. I really like that one at the moment. This idea of just pulling up in the morning, just getting in a chair and just sitting down and maybe for like 15 minutes, opening up the Bible and just asking the Lord, "Hey, God, I want to listen to the voice of truth this morning." Take a passage, read it over, and just ask God, "Lord, what do you want to say to me this morning? What's something I can take away? What's a guiding word that can really just lead me today? What's a word of encouragement?" God knows exactly what each of us need every single day. And I was reflecting, I was reading a verse this morning, which is in the message. I just find it really encouraging, and I will bring that up. It's this scripture. I was reading this, and if you're dealing with fear, this is so good. And if you're not, it's just so good. God's word is awesome. Romans 8:15-17 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption as sons," and that Greek word means sons and daughters, "by whom we cry, Abba," which is the Aramaic word for like daddy or father, which is still used in the Middle East today. Most close, endearing word you could use. Abba, daddy, father. "The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And as I was reading that part right there this morning, I was just in a chair, just sitting. My son Josh, who's 8 months old, he's learning how to crawl. So he's crawling on over, playing with the toys. And I was just reading about this. I'm like, I love this passage. I've been camped out here all week in this passage. And he just comes over and he's learning how to pull up. So he pulled up on the chair. And I was looking down on him. I was reading the Bible. I just took him right up and put him on my lap. And he was trying to remove my beard in a loving way. And and I was just reading this, and like I just got this like little whisper from God. He's like, "Jim, that's exactly what I want to do with you." He's like, "I just want to pick you up. I want to just put you on my lap. If you let me, I want to snuggle you. I just want to hold you. I just want to tell you how much I love you." And it was really neat because like I'm not a perfect father. I do the best I can, but I know I'm not perfect, but our Heavenly Father is perfect. And he just wants that morning time, that chair time, diva, whatever you want to call it, just pulling away with God, it's like snuggling up with Jesus, just going on his lap, letting him love you, hug you, encourage you. Sometimes with my son, I don't even necessarily even say anything to him. It's just that you're with him. You know, you're just there. And sometimes you don't even need something to be said to you. You just got to know that, "God, are you there? Do you love me? Can I really sense that through the power of your Holy Spirit?" And this passage here was just cool how God lined all that up. But he said, if we're children of God, and if children, then heirs. So it's not like you're just like children adopted into the family, but you got a wonderful future. It says heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And talk about an inheritance. "Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." So I just want to encourage you, us this morning. It's really something I want to grow in as well. Take some time, pull away, listen to the Lord. You only can really share, you only can share what you have. And I really believe that God wants each one of us to hear from him every day. Imagine what this week might look like if, you know, today, maybe after the service or tomorrow morning you wake up, just spending some 15 minutes just listening to God. I've noticed something that when I listen to God and spend time with him, I can't exactly mathematically figure it out, but I have more joy. I'm not as prideful as I normally can be, and I find myself, you know, loving my wife better. I find myself being a more attentive Father, I find myself trying to work harder in everything I do for the Lord. It's interesting, when I don't do those things, it's not quite there. And if I do not do it for a while, I'm like, man, I'm slipping. But I would encourage you, pull away, listen to God. God wants to speak to you every day, but he also wants to speak through you. And I would encourage you, if God, as you're spending time in scripture, gives you a word for someone else, send a text message, an email, a phone call, meet somebody. Maybe you want to just bless the Shoals and you got like a word of encouragement, go for it. My wife Crystal and I lead a home group on Saturday mornings, and it was neat. We had an opportunity this past Saturday just for everyone to go around and just share scripture that's been really meaningful, sometimes referred to as like a life verse, that's really gotten people through difficult times. One person shared a passage that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was like, man, that's good. I'm like, that's really encouraging. They're giving examples. That has gotten me through some really difficult stuff. Another person was saying, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's like, all right, priority check. I'm like, that's a good word right there. Another person was saying, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm like, all right, guidance, love it. That got him through some really difficult times. Another was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's like, man, I'm in a crossroads. I don't know what to do. It's just great if you have this scripture and then put them to memory. Things come up. It's like, bam, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, I'm banking it. I will choose to obey the voice of truth. So I would just encourage you, spend some time with the Lord every day. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. He has wonderful things he wants to share with you. And I'm really praying that each one of us could just walk in freedom that Jesus so freely wants to give us. So let's pray, and then Scott will come and share communion with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the voice of truth. God, we thank you for your voice. God, the one that is just there waiting to speak to us. And God, as we have this time, I just pray of communion reflection, or responding to musical worship. Heavenly Father, would you speak to us this morning? God, show us your love. God, I pray that your love would just cast out fear, because that's what your word says, Lord. And God, if there's just some mental, like just strongholds that have been stuck for a long time, God, I pray for freedom in the name of Jesus this morning. God, you're just so much powerful and more powerful than anything or anyone else. So God, I just pray that you would work in us and through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.